happen yet. We are going to go see Eternals in Laser IMAX.
Wow. And
at 10:55, they will deliver a plate of chicken tenders, french fries, and a bottle of water to our seat because the movie is nearly 3 hours long. And
my stomach was like,
it's,
how dare you not feed me for so long?
It sounds like a great plan.
I hope it all works out. I hope it's great. I hope nobody gets COVID. we're already recording, so.
Well, we are.
Yeah.
Can you turn off Scooby Doo and Mark Hamill?
Is that what we were listening to in the background?
That's what I'm hearing. Is it not you? Is it me?
Be you.
I don't hear anything.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because there was some, when Ralph first talked on, there was like some audio and some voices and stuff like that. That's what you were alluding to.
No, it was just in my ear. I had TikTok open in a different tab, and it was looping. it was looping a bit from Scooby-Doo with Mark Hamill, and it was so low that it took me until just now to realize that it was looping. It was the same bit over and over.
You had TikTok open in a tab?
Yeah.
You watch TikTok on the computer?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes people link or something. I don't know. I think it's funny that the first accusation is like, well, clearly this can't be me. Can you guys please get this Scooby-Doo Mark Hamill thing under control?
I thought it was you, Ryan. I thought it was you. I thought you were watching Scooby-Doo. I know, that sort of makes sense, right? You got a kid.
who's asleep right now, yeah. So that's going to happen. So at some point I'm gonna have to mute and make breakfast because we got to get breakfast out of the way so that we do not interfere with our chicken tender AMC theater delivery at 10:55 this morning.
I don't know. I like that plan. I get the anxiety. I do get that. But the rest of it sounds awesome. The tendies, the movie.
And booking, I hope because IMAX theaters, at least traditional ones, tend to be the audience tends to be severely raked. Yes. And but unfortunately, the only seats that we could get were in the first three rows. But I'm hoping that's not as big a deal as in a traditional movie theater, where that puts you closer because the run is greater than the rise, you know. So right. Hopefully it's not that. But if not, we have recliners and we'll just lean all the way back and tilt our head up to see a 20-story Kumail Nanjiani and Angelina Jolie fucking do their shit.
That sounds great.
It's the first time I've been to the theater since Rise of Skywalker.
You know what? I don't know for certain, but I would have to say that. I mean, I've been to the drive-in a bunch of times, but I don't know for certain the last time I went to a sit-down movie theater. So that sounds about right.
Rise of Skywalker. So it was an okay note to go out on.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Ralph? You're just doing nodding good over there. And
yeah, we're not seeing you.
Yeah, it's
so I'm assuming everything you say is filled with sarcasm.
Well, I think that's a pretty safe bet. And it's gotten to the point at work where, like, I'll say something and it just sounds so deeply insincere that I have to repeat over and over, like, no, you guys, I'm being sincere. I really appreciate all the work you do. And then I realize, like, oh, that made it sound worse. So I know that sounded sarcastic, but really, you guys, you're doing a great job. And then it's like, oh, fuck. And I get caught in the spiral for about 5 minutes. And then all the people who work for me are super over me. And I just move on. And they just think I'm an asshole.
Oh, that'll work.
I had a conversation yesterday.
Oh, did you now? Was this an on the record conversation?
Yeah, it'll be up on the internet the same day as this episode is released.
So if this is going to be part of the broadcast, do you want to give a little background for what a conversation is?
Not really.
Yeah, because I know what it is, but I just want to know what you think it is.
It's the Kenmore podcast where you talk about your favorite Sears appliances.
It's a fellow cast member from when I was worked in day custodial. I worked with him back in the 90s. and he has a podcast about Disneyland Custodial that he does with a co-host, and the co-host likes to keep it positive. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk to somebody about Disneyland Custodial that wasn't positive.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily bitching and complaining, but observations. Right. And so Ken was like, well, yeah, he doesn't want to do it on their show. So I'm like, okay, let's just do it for me. And then we'll post it on my feed. So we had an hour conversation about just kind of what it's like to work there and what things that have changed in the last couple of years that not for the better and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to put out there. So hopefully some eyes
get on it. His name is Ken.
His name is Ken Pellman, and since as long as I've known him, since 1996, he had his own website, which in 96 was crazy.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
And it was kenversations.com.
I think
it's still Kenversations. But
he still gets billed as that. He has a significant presence in the Disney fan community. He guests on other websites and everything, yeah. And his brand is Kenversations.
Oh, well,
and when I think that I used to conversate with this guy when he would come to our parties and just casually
converse,
we would converse.
So yeah,
I must have met him. I would assume.
I totally, know. you would recognize him on site.
And it's telling to see how dedicated he was to this, because his website wasn't angelcities.com/1234 conversations. It was just straight up conversations.
I mean, it sounds like it, but I mean, it was under construction for about 7 years, and there was a tiny GIF of a little guy on a jackhammer behind a barricade. And...
Right.
So now,
but I was.
If you go to conversations.com now, it forwards to the laughingplace.com to his blog. So. You can see everything there. So he had it forwarded to the Laughing Place.
Jeez, there's a picture of ice skater where a guy's and they're in the middle of a trick where a guy's holding a woman by her ankles. It just looks like he's ready to yeet her.
It's Snoopy. It's Snoopy on ice. And oh, yeah. Did I tell you about the time I went there?
And you, yeah. You did.
It was favorable, right? You had a favorable review, if I recall.
It was very entertaining, and there was a whole segment to a song from They Might Be Giants.
That's right.
So weird.
That's
the last
nuts.
Thing you'd think you'd hear it, Snoopy on Ice. But, I mean, there's fans everywhere. They're going to, you know.
Right. It's going to pop up. It's just it's surprising every time to me. Yeah. That's I guess there's a certain element of me that will always sort of think of They Might Be Giants as unknown.
Right.
That I'm the one that knows that band and nobody else does. But that simply can't be true because they've been making music and touring for decades.
In the Orange Years, which is that Nickelodeon documentary on Hulu.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you heard about that.
They talk about they start talking about Clarissa Explains It All, and they were writing scripts, and in the scripts they said stuff they would put in boy bands, she would say in her dialogue something about a band she likes,
kids,
and she was a teenager and was like, actually I don't like those bands. Can I just say the bands I actually like? And they're like, cool with it. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because it's authentic.
Rammstein. mentioned Rammstein in every episode. Yeah,
the clip they show is her talking about They Might Be Giants.
That's crazy.
So it's
again, every time there's a part of me that's surprised that anyone has heard of this famous working rock and roll band.
that's been around forever.
Didn't they do a whole episode of Tiny Toons on They Might Be Giant songs?
So not a whole,
really, not that underground.
They had two segments.
Two segments.
Yeah. Not that underground. No.
Yeah.
But and I just
never,
got.
They're never that Tiny Toons is the most public mainstream thing.
Right.
They're not at every, they're not doing Super Bowl halftime shows. They're not doing
wait, I think we're missing the biggest. Didn't they do the theme song for a very popular show that ran for like 12 years?
Malcolm in the Middle?
Yes, Malcolm in the Middle. Well, there was that one, but didn't they also do Big Bang Theory too? Isn't that them?
No.
No.
That's like, is like Bare Naked Ladies or some thing like that.
All right.
They did the music for The Daily Show. They've done they did that hot dog song and the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse song.
Very popular.
You know, you could hear They Might Be Giants music at Disneyland.
Yes.
Or DCA, sorry.
Disney California Adventure Park.
They
thank you.
And then one of the Johns sings for John Hodgman's character in Coraline.
Oh.
Like there's like a song in Coraline.
That, well, initially they were meant to do the whole soundtrack. It was meant to be like all music songs by They Might Be Giants, but they ended up with just that one song, the Other Father song.
Yeah,
too much accordion.
Beck was supposed to do the score for Nacho Libre.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it got rejected, but some of it got left in, and then Danny Elfman came in to complete the rest of the music. But what's cool about Danny Elfman is he didn't take a music by credit, even though he did the majority of the score. He said, I didn't do all the music. So if you look at the end credits of Nacho Libre, there's like 9 song credits credited to Danny Elfman, but they're, you know, score. So he didn't
Interesting.
Take, he's like, I didn't do the music. I didn't do all the music for this. I did some music and he didn't take the credit. So that's why Danny Elfman cool is cool.
He sounds like a cool dude.
And Hans Zimmer is not.
The opposite. They're the goofus and gallant of film composers. I just got the last of my They Might Be Giants fan club swag just this week. They released a new album and a book. The album's called Book. And so... It's pretty. I haven't even looked at it yet. There's a time when I get a new album and I don't listen to it just yet because I know eventually I'll have heard it a million times. And I guess I'm sort of delaying gratification or I don't know how to jump in. So I've got it and I haven't experienced it yet, but I'm very much looking forward to it.
Now it's the fan club dissolving or you're just...
No, it's a one. The fan club happens every year. It's not a through thing. It's every year there's an offering. For example, in 2015 for the fan club, if you signed up, you got a song a week. They did.
I remember 15, that.
Yeah. So you just you sign up every year,
and that's just that was the last one for this year.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you were like denouncing them or something. They were
That's
going
it.
Away.
Done.
You said you
They're
got
not famous
one.
Enough. I haven't seen you on the new Animaniacs, so I'm done.
I don't think I'm part of
that just struck
club.
Yesterday. Well, you're I mean, not really, but you're part of the MST3K Kickstarter, which kind of has swag and shit associated with it.
I actually joined the info club back in the day. You know how they would flash the address on the screen?
I did that. You'd write to the P.O. box.
Yep. I got a lunchbox.
Oh, mom.
I don't remember.
It's Pac-Man. It's just a Pac-Man lunchbox. It had nothing to do with the show.
They're cleaning up their garage.
I
want to say that I got, and I'm not sure if I'm making this up because this was a very long time ago, but I think that one of the pieces of swag for that fan club was a silhouette of them in the theater that you could like put on your TV.
Oh, like a cling. That's cool.
You know what's not cool?
All right,
cool?
Great show, everybody.
You know what's not cool?
We know it has to happen.
Like, why would you put perfectly good clothing on dummies that you're going to shoot at? I know it's men's clothing, and I know we hate men. But shirts might come in handy.
Just I think you're making an assumption. Maybe it's not perfectly good clothing. Maybe they use it to like wipe up sewage at some point for a sewage spill or something like that. I mean,
I think it's part of the indoctrination. She is using the Big Brother method of indoctrinating these women by using this enemy men, and so that these mannequins have to be part of that.
I decided, because that was the very first thing. That's what opens the show. what's the name of the show? Oh yeah, Where
Pretty Empire,
The Last Man.
Where The Last Man? Not today. We're not going to see.
But I was like, okay, that's the only note I'm taking. But then there's some other things that happened that I was like, okay, this needs to be addressed.
I liked this one. I really liked this episode. I think if it had all been like this, we might have been more on board, because this was it was very reminiscent of Lost. Not to say that it's ripping off
the flashbacks and stuff, but that's the thing. It's like we were saying since like the first five episodes that we have no character development. Everyone's one note. We learn who they are in the first Love Boat episode, as Ryan likes to say. And then this is really one of the first times where you're like, we got set up to this character the last time we saw her.
Right.
And now we're getting the payoff. And so it's like, okay, cool. This is how a TV show is.
Yeah, it was. I liked it a lot. Some of it was a bit predictable after a while. Like, I knew where it was going. We already.
Yeah. But it's episode 8 of 10.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It's too little too late, probably. Yeah. But I just really liked it. Roxanne reminded me of John Locke. You know, she reinvented herself because there's no one to tell her no.
Right.
So she was this downtrodden, harassed assistant manager at the Price Max. And then she said, I'll just be a cop.
Another thing also with this episode is it focuses on one storyline.
Yes.
Which we haven't seen yet. Would this show benefit if they just took one of these three storylines and made it like the Why the Last Man universe? And we followed the hero show, the Diane Lane show, and the Yorick show.
Definitely. It's a lot to cut back and forth on.
Yeah. So I found this episode to be the most manageable. It felt like, I mean, there were some things in it that I didn't care for, but I was like, okay, this is it. We're getting to know characters. We're getting to understand. This is my favorite episode about Sam. I really liked kind of what Sam was going through. It was also my favorite episode with Nora.
Right.
Sorry, I have a frog in my throat. It felt like a television show. It felt like a real, I don't know. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end.
It's a real show, Ralph.
It's a real show.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not anymore.
I got a little confused, but they're taking the diamonds to Reseda. No, they're not. I got a little confused with some of the flashbacks. I lost track of when we were. But I was able to pull it out. I will say that they overplayed the name tag card.
That's one of my other notes. Oh, that's the name tag.
Right. It was very mama. They kept showing us the name tag. It was like once Nora grabbed the name tag from the car, I knew what it was and I knew what it meant. And we see her play that hand, overplay it, in my opinion. Yeah. I thought she was going to get killed.
Yes.
Because it's like, well, it's a classic, who else have you told about this scenario?
And they showed it at the beginning when that girl said, I'm not going to tell anybody, and she runs away.
Right.
And it forces her into a position to shoot her, I guess. You could tell she didn't want to do it.
Right.
But she felt like she needed to do it.
And so what happened was the woman at the beginning, Kate, left the perimeter, found the car, saw the name tag, came back inside the perimeter and said, hey, it's all good. Roxanne shoots her, takes care of the body, and then leaves the name tag in the car. She doesn't cover her tracks after that near miss. But yeah, like I said, I think Nora went too far with that. I thought for certain she was going to get shot by Roxanne. Just yeah. Hey.
And that's what's great about this episode is they set something up so that it creates dramatic tension later on. And I feel like none of that has happened so far in this show.
Right. I was expecting something because first of all, I know how things work, how shows work. And also because they had that bit in the beginning and then it didn't happen, which is like that adds to the tension because now I have to wonder, is Roxanne keeping her enemies closer or is she just, has she grown even more? And
then, a few weeks back, there was the part where Sam was talking to the girl that liked him. I forget her name.
I want to say Kelsey.
Yeah. And she whispered in his ears that they were attending a funeral, which I believe that also added tension because it's like, whose funeral and why is she telling him in secret? Is it something he shouldn't know? Is it a funeral for him? Is he going to get killed?
That's exactly what I thought.
So I feel like, I don't know how these shows are directed. I haven't been paying attention to the, who's directing what episodes,
but either.
I feel like this storyline feels the most cohesive.
It's like you mentioned with the different shows. It's like we're getting it appears to me that the Amazon storyline is being done by different people than York and President Lane.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It feels more cohesive. It feels,
I mean, it just, I guess since it feels like three different shows, when you cut back and forth, it doesn't feel like they're in the same universe. And so even when like York met up with his mom, it still didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
He still felt distance from her or distant. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to say because like I did, I enjoyed this episode. The best I think that's going to do is make me less frustrated to press play next week. If that makes sense. Like
it does.
Like before I got on and pressed play on my Hulu and went to it and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe there's still three more of these. I feel like we've been watching this show forever. And what happened was I watched an episode that kind of grabbed me from the beginning and then held on to that the whole time.
Yeah.
I didn't check the runtime on this episode, but it felt like the shortest one. And I don't know if that's just because the storytelling was better.
Right. You were more drawn in.
Yeah. Or it could be the new Animal Crossing update. I don't know. Because why is definitely competing with what my phone or my Switch or whatever's in my hand. But I found myself putting it down and actually watching more. And it might be just because of the performance by Missy Pyle. I think she's doing a really good job. I really like
Fantastic.
Her. Yeah.
You know, I just the range.
And even the there was the scene with Sam and Hero arguing in the sort of bathhouse.
Yeah, which I have a bit of a problem with.
I was kind of like, oh my gosh, this conversation feels sort of just cliche, hacky, sort of like they're fighting for reasons where I'm like, you can probably work this out, but I can tell that they're trying to get Sam to leave the compound. But I feel like as it progressed, as that scene progressed, like I started really getting into the performances and I was for it. I was like, okay, cool. I feel like with what they're given, it's a really good scene. I hate everything because it's why to, hey, this is kind of interesting. I'm enjoying this and I'll just allow this show to entertain me. And I can't believe I'm saying it, but it entertained me. I really, really kind of latched onto it. And it made me really appreciate the Sam character because we really haven't with like the Sam character, we've so far have only been able to sort of inject what we think he's feeling.
Right.
And this episode...
He could say.
Yeah.
This episode, he says it.
But again, episode 8, it's so tough. Like, these are the kind of things that... I know we don't like getting stuff, you know, hammered into our head that much, but you got to give us some sort of inkling at the beginning, like why this character is the way they are, and moving forward, pay attention so that we know what they're going through and how each situation you can tell from their POV. It's like Star Trek. It's the original series. You have the three main characters. You have Bones, Spock, and Captain Kirk. And you know what each of their personalities are. You know how their personalities work with everybody else. So that when you get into different situations, you see those personalities work and you know exactly why they're saying and doing what they're doing in that situation.
Yeah, you don't have to guess.
Yeah, so this show, I feel like maybe I missed it. I don't know, because I know there was conversations in like the second episode between Sam and Hero in the sort of the trans safe house sort of thing. But I don't feel like those made me invest in the character.
It's almost like what we learned in this episode in their argument. Now it informs what happened before. Now I understand Sam and Hero are close. There's some attraction there, but Sam is aware of Hero's past and how she handles relationships. Mm-hmm. And he knows, he feels very certain that if they were to have a sexual relationship, that like you said, the clock would be ticking. Because she never makes anything like that last, and he doesn't want to do that, even if there is the attraction. And so here is this character with a fully realized motivation, and we just didn't know it, you know, which is, that's a choice. That is a choice. You don't have to tell me everything you're feeling, you know, before you go through the actions. But because it worked out that way, we were kind of lost not knowing what Sam was about, not knowing what the conflict was between the two. Like, they had that moment where they were making out. We don't know first at that time. We didn't know why they stopped. You know, what's the problem? But what's also great about that scene where they're having that fight is, like you said, I think those things could have been resolved. But for Roxanne, who was there to drive the wedge in, and by implication saying that Sam is raising his voice, although Sam and Hero were both raising their voice. She's in there with the fact that, in this dynamic, a man is yelling at you like they always do. See how abusive they are. I'll protect you. And so, you know, it's all part of her conversion of Hero. Yeah. Which, again, the reason I said I was frustrated with that scene is Hero's selfishness, Hero's flaws are frustrating. And I don't think they're frustrating in the fictional context. Like, I'm not saying nobody would be like that. They're just frustrating because people are like that, and it sucks when people are like that.
Yeah.
Which is good, then. That's good drama if she seems like a real person.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my notes is there's a part where Roxanne has piled up all the bodies. And she covers them with lighter fluid, and she has an aim and flame. And, you know, Harmony's studying to be a mortician, so I've picked up a bunch of stuff. You cannot burn a human body with an aim and flame and some lighter fluid. They're basically bags of water.
Okay.
With wet skin.
Yeah, and she was holding her hand over the flame to
see. Like, so is this hot enough? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But at least the show, it didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. That's right. And she said that it all dovetails nicely. The plot of this episode is really well plotted.
Yeah, she can't light bodies on fire, and here comes Nora, who's able to burn down that whole building. So it's like showing, like, it's a metaphor, I guess.
For the power dynamic between them.
Yeah.
I did not expect Nora's arson to work.
Well, it shouldn't. I don't think it should have, because she took the lighter fluid. A, could be used for heat, for actual when you need heat or cooking or boiling water, or you're wasting the lighter fluid just sitting them out there next to the fire. But she pours a trail back into the place and then puts the can or the bottle of lighter fluid in a shopping cart.
Right. Separate from the walls, in a little wire basket.
Yeah, there's isolated. Nothing in there to catch.
Just a fuel. Yeah.
I was like, why a shopping cart? Why not just on a pile of toilet paper? Like, is it
something? Because as I was watching that, I thought, okay, well, this isn't going to work. Is she going to get caught? Exactly. What's happening?
And then the whole place is up in flames.
Yep. And so it did work. But she made the point that, yeah, in her belief, what they need is people. They can always get more food, which I think Seth mentioned is not technically possible. Yeah. Because at some point you're going to run out and you have to start making food. But yeah, that's what she believes. Right. And she's going about this. Remember, our first introduction to Noro is that she's never held a gun. Like,
right.
And I knew that was going to come into play to see how I don't want to say vicious. I don't know, pragmatic. In a post-apocalyptic world, she's decided, look, I'm a spin doctor by trade. That's what I do. I'm going to glom onto this demagogue. But you got two princes over there?
Yes.
Pocket full of kryptonite? I'm going to glom onto this demagogue and be her spin doctor. You know, there's a really great tweet about, I can't remember the specifics, but some guy's saying after the apocalypse, he'll be praised for his skills at appraising anime. you have to find your new way in this new world.
But that was also sort of a theme with Sam. Like, a couple of times Sam mentions that he was an artist.
I'm an artist, yeah.
And so he doesn't have skills that are helpful to...
He doesn't have a trade, yeah.
Yeah, so...
But he ends up in that school with Principal Blackwell playing the piano. And for a second, like right before he started playing Chopsticks, I thought, did he hallucinate that lady? And then he started playing Chopsticks and she was like still there. And I thought, oh, okay, never mind. Because I think it was about the camera angle or something.
It was weird. It was kind of a weird, like, all right, you play Chopsticks. I'm going to vocalize to myself, according to my subtitles.
Vocalizing.
Away, and she just kind of walks away. It was like a weird anticlimactic thing. Like, I was like, all right, he's playing piano and there's a woman there and she's walking away.
You know what?
Like, it was super.
That's right. And she's waiting for the kids to show up. Like, you could go home. If the kids are going back to school, you'll probably find out. But
yeah, there's probably a lot of shelter there. Like, there's shelter room. There's tools there.
Yeah.
I feel like a school is a good place to hold up.
No, I think
probably have
right.
a kitchen and
yes.
and all that stuff.
Yeah. A lot of rooms.
Yeah.
The one thing, and I don't know if this is because of Principal Blackwell, but the one thing I noticed about the music room that they were in is that there were like guitars and guitar stands and flutes. Nothing was knocked over.
That's
Maybe
right.
Maybe she righted everything, but everything seemed very well organized. And
that's right. She cleaned it up.
But also not protected either, because if she's there to kind of like make sure that the school stays safe for the students to return, like all that shit's just out in the open. Wouldn't you just like want to lock that stuff up just in case? Like,
so people don't come and loot it.
So people don't, you know, take that sweet Fender Stratocaster and make off with it or something? I don't know.
Anyway. Six string samurai.
Well, electricity. What are you gonna do with the
You could still play.
You could still practice.
Yeah.
I wonder if Principal Blackwell is related to Principal Blackman.
I still got none of them. I got neither.
I'm sorry. Sorry. I didn't realize.
Let's start with Ryan. Hold on. Let's start with Ryan.
You go.
No, it's fine. It's fine. What do I matter?
I know it's
okay then. Okay, so you're deferring to Ben now. Ben may speak.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, Ryan, I'm sorry. I'm hard of hearing.
We need to do it. What?
Damn it! I knew it.
He did it. I was sincere.
I set up the foolproof plan.
I just wanted to say that I wonder if Principal Blackwell is related to Principal Blackman from Strangers with Candy.
Could be. They have the same last name and everything.
They have a similar last name.
Okay, so the flashback.
They spell and pronounce their names differently.
This made me laugh. This is my note that I had to take. Pretend I'm a lady in a flashback.
Okay.
You're a lady in a flashback.
Okay. Now I'm going to walk into the store.
That's right.
I'm assuming it was maybe there was time jumps in between.
Yes, I think there was time jumps. Okay. Yeah.
But it was a lady walked in and got shot, and then another lady walked in and then got shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah. The third lady walked in. I'm like, you guys, you got to stop walking in here.
Stop walking in there.
Midge, do you need help in there? Midge, I heard a gunshot.
I did like that she was wearing that goofy sort of fisherman getup. And it didn't make sense earlier, but when the people walked in one at a time, I'm like, oh, she looks like a mannequin.
Yep.
Like, no one would wear that outfit with, like, the loose hat all crooked and stuff.
Right.
I'm like, that's a really good disguise. Like, I was why is...
Camouflage.
Yeah. As soon as they cut to the shot, the reverse shot of her standing there with the other mannequins, I'm like, oh, my God. So there is some brilliance to her character.
Yeah.
She could have hid behind anywhere, but she was just out in the open.
Oh, yeah. She's dangerous. Yeah. I will say, we watched the one flashback where... we see her as a assistant manager at the Price Max was terrible. Like, not bad acting, not badly written, just a terrible thing that happens all over the place. Yeah. The dude wouldn't listen to her. He accused her of being jealous of the woman that was being sexually harassed. Just really painful. And, I think that was good TV too. But I did like that what she stole was a box set of Law & Order. And he's like, you can watch Law & Order anytime you want. Just turn on the TV.
It's kind of ridiculous. I'm glad he mentioned that.
It was very funny.
But also, she said it was in the $5 bargain bin.
Right.
And this is a little over the head. She's getting shit for taking something so inconsequential. And this other guy's like groping and saying things. So,
it's boys will be boys.
It's a little bit of a heightened version of that, but... I mean, if you have so much time, if you have to, conserve your time and get story stuff across quickly, like that's a pretty good scene.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it, I feel like this whole show should be that.
It's efficient.
We can get through some of the shorthand. The return of my favorite character this week, Lee Trevino buzzard. Shows up on the river to go shake his head at Happy Gilmore.
It's a living. Flat, 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 flat.
It was.
Yeah. It's like
the fact that it was floating
on just
a piece of junk passing by. Nora.
Crazy little buzzard. Oh, I got to talk about something. Okay. So my kid got an app. Just last week, and it's
a
game.
Are we not talking about Frings? Why anymore?
Is it it's gonna get back on? To why.
Okay.
I asked if it was Frings.
Frings? What's that?
It's French fries and onion
rings. Oh, an appetizer. I get it. That's good. Yeah. That's good wordplay. And it's a game where a song plays, and it's let's say it's similar to Guitar Hero or Dance Dance Revolution. You have to push the screen in certain places in time with the song. And so she's hearing the song called Dance Monkey. Have you guys heard the song before?
Yes.
No, but it's probably played at the beginning of the episode.
It's played during the rave, the party that the Amazons throw. Yes. I'd never heard the song in my life. I've heard it 1,000 times in the last week, and then it showed up on Y. So for me, that was a bit of synchronicity.
That's really weird.
Yeah, that's heavy in the playlist at the Moore household.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dorothy says it's her favorite song.
It balances out. I think I sent this or maybe I posted this on Instagram. We went to Rhino Records in Claremont and Hannah wanted to pick out an album, and I was like, all right, well, what are we going to see? Is this, is it going to be the Dance Monkey 45 extended remix single or whatever? And she fucking walked over, picked out David Bowie's Hunky Dory, and was like, this is the album. I really like this album. And I was like, God bless you. It balanced out all the fucking Dance Monkey and nerdcore songs about Among Us that she normally listens to. So,
Does she have, does she have other Bowie, or did she listen to it on Apple One?
She would listen when we would drive together, because we would drive in the car for 2 hours each day. We would listen to the radio. I would never try and force anything on her. I just wanted her, you know, to be into what she wanted to be into. And if she likes something, then I'd like throw out, hey, do you want to hear more of this? And so I think maybe we were listening to Under Pressure, which kind of led to Queen and David Bowie. And then ultimately we settled on Hunky Dory, and she really liked Hunky Dory. But we haven't listened to it because we haven't been driving, you know, 2 hours a day. We haven't listened to it like almost 2 years. But she was like, wanted to reconnect with it. So I was like, hell yeah, I'll get that for you.
Did you find out that you like already had a copy?
It turns out I did not already have a copy, which was a pleasant surprise.
It's good. I have a copy.
So everybody wins.
Yeah,
you that's can cut awesome. All this out. No, this was good. I was just
proud. Oh, dude, we got to fill time. I don't know. Wow. I don't have any more notes for this episode.
I liked it.
It was really good.
I liked it too.
Because it was, I think it was good because it was not an episode of Why the Last Man. Like, that's really what it was.
Yeah. It was Where the Last Man, like you said.
Like, really, the fact of, like, obviously there was the fact that there were all women, and how did there get to be all women is tied to the event, right? But, like, it could have been any survival thing, post-earthquake, post-hurricane, I don't know, anything. It was fine. It was relatively self-contained.
She's an assistant manager, probably doesn't do a lot of truck driving, but figured it out.
Right.
Yeah.
I would love to see more people figuring it out.
Created that barricade. Really smart.
Do you think you guys could drive a semi if you needed to?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it's what do they call that? It's a 16 gears. I can drive a car with 5 gears.
That's the thing. I learned how to drive stick in a Harmony's Mustang like 12, 15 years ago, but I never really mastered it. And I don't know if any of that knowledge is still in my brain.
Right.
I will say, I just want to say one more thing about the episode, because I'm mostly done with my notes too, but whoever directed this knows their tropes and, you know, kept me guessing. There's shots where when Nora's finding the name badge and the shot is all really close, directly behind her, if I remember correctly. The point is that I thought for certain that Roxanne was behind her and we were going to get like that cut to show that, and it wasn't. Nope, just tension.
It's almost like if you see someone go into a medicine cabinet, and when they close the door again, there isn't somebody in the reflection.
There's nothing there, but that shot was created. A medicine cabinet shot like that would be created to make me tense because I know what to expect.
Yeah,
the same thing happened. There was when Roxanne was sleeping, and Nora like got all close to her to look at her.
Dude,
I guess
that was
she was
awesome.
Yeah, and I thought for certain she was going to have Roxanne was going to be pointing a gun right in her stomach, you know, like, I'm aware of you, I'm awake, but no, she was asleep and Nora burned the price max down.
But I like that because Nora's like stuck her face right in her face, and it's telling like that she, it's almost like ass pennies. Like she has one up on her. Like she knows.
Right. I'm not afraid of you.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I can get this close and not get harmed. So like that kind of put her in a different mental state where she's like, okay, this is a situation I can handle.
Yes.
This lady's not that. If I can sneak up on her in her sleep.
Right.
I'm good.
She gained all her confidence. She had her.
I had one question.
Yes.
And for some reason, I thought this was a flashback because of the conversation. Roxanne's on the back of the truck and she's giving a speech.
Yeah.
And she mentions the Amazons, and one of the girls says like Wonder Woman.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
It's like, so I thought it was a flashback because I thought it was like, she's teaching him about Amazons right now, But right. This whole time they've been acting as Amazons, and I could be wrong, but they might have said Amazons before. Maybe
that's
we
what
said Amazons before.
In the one scene in the bathhouse, I thought that came up, but maybe not everybody was around. But I feel like if that's your big driving thing, you've dropped that before. You've dropped that in a speech before, or in a therapy session or something. It seems weird.
Maybe if it was Nora's daughter that asked that question, it would make more sense. Oh, like one.
Yes, yeah. That would.
But I someone who's been in this commune.
It had to have come up.
Yeah.
I feel like the congregation is getting dumber. Just for not even for like dramatic effect, because you always have to have somebody like asking like, well, what do you mean? I'm so dumb. You have to explain this to me.
Right.
But I think they're just getting dumb for comedy's sake. Like they're really.
Well, I liked the Wonder Woman reference. I thought that was nice.
Yeah. It is, but like, who would really say that? Like, well, I think I've cracked this code.
Actually, you know what? I think that it might be on purpose. I think that maybe the people Roxanne's rejecting are the smarter ones. She wants the ones that she can manipulate and keep their loyalty.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So maybe it's a filter. Maybe naturally all the people there are going to be slightly dumber or more timid.
I think that's a good strategy. But does that mean that how did all those quote unquote if this is the case, if they're all kind of similar mentally? Uh-huh. How do they all find their way in that house in the first place?
That's
like,
true.
Was it a gathering of like Idiots Anonymous or something?
They were no, it, because it was a domestic violence shelter, and so that would be very bad optics. That would be very bad optics if the show was implying that victims of domestic violence are stupid.
Yes, so. And it would also be bad for a podcast to imply that too. So maybe we should cut that question out. I forgot that was
how. Well, you posed the question and Ben answered it. I feel
yes.
Like.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry.
No, it's like well, what we did is extrapolate from one person asking about Wonder Woman and Kelsey, who everyone acknowledges is dumb. You know, we don't for sure know that all the Amazons are dumb.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry.
Apologize to Kirk and James, please.
the only people.
I don't have confirmation that Kirk's still listening.
Okay.
It might just be James. And I hope James makes that his quote of the week. Because it sounds like something James would put is Idiots Anonymous.
I liked his Photoshop of bottled hose water.
Yes, that was good. I still think we need to do that. I think we need to get a team on this.
Yeah.
Okay, so start doing patents and package design and.
But
yes.
Can I ask you a question? I know it's going to cost a little bit more.
Sure.
But I feel like you need the cap where you unscrew the cap. The actual mouth of the bottle should be.
It has to.
Oh.
Yeah, it should be that metal. Yeah, okay.
I think you can kind of cheat that a little bit because, like, if you get, like, a bottle of Pellegrino or something that's sparkling, they have the metal caps anyway. So I don't know if it would be that much to do, like, the sleeve.
Could it be in Budweiser bottles? Those like metal ones that you get at like baseball games.
I don't know. Ben, can you do a cost analysis with a breakdown of different volume levels of whether it's a whole aluminum extruded bottle versus a sleeve over the threads? Can you do that for us, please? Okay. and I want to see breakdowns at 100,000 units, 500,000 units, and 750,000 units. Can you do that, please?
Standard. Yeah, I can have that by noon.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I think it should just be served in pop-up hoses. Like you just have like make the diameter of the hose bigger than a normal hose and just like
they're missing the opportunity. That's an upcharge thing. It's like metal straws or something, right? So yeah, you sell the bottle and you can do it and you can drink it. But if you really want to do it, yeah, what is it?
Okay. So this is what we're doing. We're making reusable bottles.
Sure.
Now, they don't come with the hose water in it.
No.
So the bottle itself has a nice like kind of rubber coating on the outside, like an actual.
Oh yeah, so it feels like a hose. Yeah.
And the top where you unscrew it, the mouth of it is copper.
Right.
Sure.
And it's up to you to go fill it with hose water.
To go find a hose.
But we're not wasting any plastic. We're not wasting any materials.
Right.
So people don't recycle it. They don't end up in landfills. This is a reusable bottle that feels like a hose.
Yeah. So what happens if they put something other than hose water in that? It, can we allow that? Is there some sort of like digital rights management we could put on?
It becomes hose water. What's in the there's nothing in the rule book about a mule drinking hose water.
I feel like we're straying from the concept too much. This is supposed to be a hose water delivery system, and now it's just an accessory, and I feel like that just violates the spirit of this.
Fair enough.
I feel like for the environment, okay. You have a reusable bottle, and it brings community together, because I don't have a hose. I live in an apartment, but my neighbor might have a hose. So I go over there, hey, do you mind if I fill my bottle? Hey, is that a hose water bottle? I love those.
And they fill it up. You're putting Gatorade in this thing, though. Don't fool yourself. No, you're going to put Gatorade in it. It's
Propel.
So here's the deal. Here's what I think we should do.
Hose water in packets.
Ben is coming with me.
We're splitting up.
And we're going to split up, and we're going to do the hose water distribution. You do your little bottle over there.
How about this? Can I put my bottles in your merch store?
Yeah.
I think you're missing the point. We're competing now.
Oh,
If your vision is so compromised that you think that's how we're getting hose water to the people, I'm not going to be a part of that.
Oh, no.
But the city's already giving hose water to the people.
Not why would to I you. Buy? Where's your hose? See? See?
Actually, you know, I think I might go with Ralph. I might go with Ralph because when he was pitching the idea of going to his neighbor, I saw that. Like, that could be the commercial.
You know what? I don't need you. I can do my house analysis myself. Noon is too late.
I already finished it. You don't have to do that. I'll still send it to you.
Does the commercial have Rick Mahorn in it?
I finished Detroiters. And I started Discovery, and this is what I want to say. The protagonist is a woman named Michael. And first of all, the baggage that she has, the inciting incident of the series is difficult for me. I was hoping more of like a Star Trek show where we just fly around each week and do stuff.
Yeah.
But all I can think of from time to time whenever someone says her name is, so nice to meet you, girl Michael. From Arrested Development.
I heard that season 2 is better than season 1. I haven't seen any of it, but I'm just letting you know, if you have issues with season 1, I heard that.
It might get better.
Yeah.
Actually, I've been enjoying it.
Ryan, how far have you gotten on Detroiters?
I think 4 episodes. I have not picked it up since the last time we talked, but I watched...
Episode 5 is the one that Ben really, really enjoyed to mention on the podcast. That's the one where it's Sam's dad's birthday.
The Duvet family reunion.
Yeah.
Okay. How about I save that one for last?
Yeah.
No. You got to watch it in order. Just watch them in order. It's not like that's the pinnacle of it.
It's just very funny.
It's just very funny. But the episode with Rick Mahorn, I watched that yesterday. And Jesus Christ, it's so good. Richard Karn is also in that episode. Spoilers. But I'm just giving you something to look forward to. Jason Sudeikis is in that episode.
I like him.
So three of your favorite people in one episode. You know what I mean? Rick Mahorn, that Rick Mahorn storyline fucking makes me laugh every goddamn time. Ryan, I think you'll appreciate it. Because you're a fan of non-actors in acting roles, like sports stars.
Am I? Is that something that I'm known for?
Is that a notable trait?
Well, they're all pretty bad. I didn't realize that. Like, you like that kind of stuff. Well, you know what I mean?
He's not an athlete. He's a musician, but yeah.
But you like
Matt Guitar Murphy? Yes.
Yeah. about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
He was playing himself.
No, he wasn't. He was playing Roger Murdock. Were you?
He's got the goggles on and the shorts when he gets dragged.
Yes, he's Kareem. He's Kareem.
Open for debate.
I'm married too.
But see, your cadence changes when it's a bad actor or a non-actor in an acting role. I must kill the queen.
All I want is what's coming to me. All I want is my fair share.
So Rick Mahorn's in a commercial that Sam and Tim make, and it escalates and it's very fun.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I will have to check it out after I go see Eternals.
Yeah.
In laser IMAX, which is something I'm going to go do right now.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Laser?
Right.
Yeah. Just explain it real quick and we'll get out of here.
This is my understanding of what it is that the lighting element that they use is not a bulb. It's a laser for clarity and shit. Like that, I don't know. I've not seen any YouTube documentaries on it explaining it, but I know lasers are involved. So that's, and I know that projection uses light. So that's my assumption.
You can report on it next week on an all new Darmalars.
That's right. Yay. Where we'll be discussing episode 9 of Why the Last Man, Peppers, which I believe is a reference to the Sublime song.
Yes, I believe.
Someone goes with the price max.
My kiss?
No.
Someone goes into the price max and comes out with some peppers.
I like that. That's the notable peppers pop culture reference that you pulled out.
That's where my brain went.
Anyway, we'll see you next week, Ryan. You got to get out of here. I say we all do it.
Yeah.
Are we going to call ourselves the Darm Y Lars? Like, is that something we should have done?
No.
Too late.
Can you set up a focus group?
Oh God! Here we go.
Let's just bounce that around and see if
this is what I want for next week, because we haven't officially announced it yet. But what? The week after Why the Last Man is done on the Darmalars, we're going to be doing Get Back. So I fully expect a Darmalars Beatles centric name.
Oh,
from Ryan.
Okay.
Okay, we'll work on that. Depending on how this goes, either those three episodes are going to be completely entertaining or just off the rails in the weeds details about the Beatles that no one will be interested in. Except
us
for
or
me.
The show?
The Darmalars. It could be unbearable or it could be entertaining.
I feel like the whole time I'm just going to be, I'm the walrus. I'm the walrus, dude.
I'm the walrus. I'm the walrus.
All right. Let's get out of here. MIC. See you later, trash cans.
See you in hell.
KEY. Why? Because we last man. Oh, and then we don't have an MOUSC, do we?
No, we don't. We never made it that far.
MOUS. See you later, trash cans.
Double up on the trash cans. Yes.
All right. We'll see you later, trash cans.
All right. See you later, everyone. Bye, guys.
Recording stopped.
Oh, yeah.